Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Ches. We left off on the very top of daf Ches Amud Aleph. We're going to start by giving a third explanation of how it is that the Mishnah could say Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, that there are four Rosh Hashanahs, when in fact there seem to be a lot more than four Rosh Hashanahs. We keep on adding more to the list of how many Rosh Hashanahs there really are. The Gemara is then going to go on to tell us two explanations of the Machlokas, whether Rosh Hashanah from Meiser Behema is Be'echad Be'elul or Be'echad B'Tishrei. We're going to show how we derive the different opinions from Psukim and two different deos about what the Nekudas HaMachlokas really is. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we have three possibilities of what exactly is the significance of saying that Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah L'shanim. The Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah for years. For years with regard to what? Is it a Rosh Hashanah? So then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have two different drashos from the Pasuk Kichak Li Yisrael Hu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, meaning that Pasuk is going to come up in the context of the discussion of what the significance of Tishrei being Rosh Hashanah L'shanim is. So we're going to just mention a couple of other important drashos related to that pasuk. Then the Gemara is going to tell us the source for Tishrei being a Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah, and also the idea that how would the Mishnah could say that Echad B'Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah for Yovel, if we know that the actual din of Yovel, of the slaves going free and everything going back, is when they blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel. It's not a Rosh Chodesh Tishrei that it's really the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel. So let's begin on the top of Chesam and Aleph. Again, the third approach now that we're up to as to how we arrive at the number four when we say Arba'a Rosh Hashanah Meim, if in fact there seem to be many more Rosh Hashanim. So the Gemara says, Ravashi Amar, Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, Shehein Ba Arba Rosh Chadashim. There are four Rosh Hashanahs that happen to fall out on four different Rosh Chodeshes. So it's true, there are other Rosh Hashanahs that fall out some other time during the month. And there are certain Rosh Chodeshes that have multiple Rosh Hashanahs, that have multiple significance. But there are four specific months that their Rosh Chodesh is a Rosh Hashanah. So says Gemara, yeah, that only works if you count Beis Shammai's opinion. Be'echad b'shvat k'Beis Shammai. Meaning, are you assuming that Echad b'shvat is one of them, and you're assuming like the Shita of Beis Shammai that the Rosh Hashanah li'ilanos is not two b'shvat, like Beis Hillel says, but rather is Echad b'shvat. So with the first line of the Mishnah is assuming like the Shita Beis Shammai, says the Gemara, yeah, hachi kamar. What the Mishnah means to say is, shlosh l'divrei kol. There are three Rosh Chodeshes that are Rosh There are three Rosh Chodashim. Doesn't work in plural in English. There are three Rosh Chodashim that are happen to be Rosh Hashanahs according to everybody, but there's only four Be'echad B'Shvat Machlokas Be'Shamim Be'Silel. There's four according to Beis Shammai because Echad B'Shvat is Machlokas Be'Shamim Be'Silel, and that's how the Gra explains. We pointed out the other day the lashon of the Mishnah when it says Be'echad B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan Ki Divrei Beis Shammai. It's an unusual lashon. It should say Divrei Beis Shammai. What's the Ki Divrei Beis Shammai? But it's going back on that first line of the Mishnah, that Be'echad B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Ali Ilanos. That's only that means that Arba Rosh Hashanah is Kedivrei Beis Shammai. That first line was only Kedivrei Beis Shammai, because according to the Beis Hillel, there would actually be only three Rosh Hashanahs according to this Cheshbon, that Rosh Hashanahs mean that it's a Rosh Hashanah that falls out on a Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Be'echad B'Tishrei. So we had a machlokas in the Mishnah when it comes to Meiser Behema. What is the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema? Is it Echad Be'elul, or is it Echad B'Tishrei? So now the Gemara is going to present two explanations of what exactly they're arguing about. So number one, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Rabbi Yochanan explains, they're both darshaning the same pasuk. Shenemar, the pasuk says, so this is a pasuk in Tehillim, Lav shu charim hatzon, va'amakim yatfu var, yisro au af yashiru. So Rameir Savar, emasai lav shu charim hatzon. When does lav shu charim hatzon mean? So lav shu charim hatzon means that the sheep become pregnant. It's a lishna nekiya, it's a lishna ma'aliyah of describing sheep becoming pregnant. When does that happen? Bizman sha'amakim yatfu bar. That's when the Zriya is sprouting and is very clearly recognizable out in the fields. And when does that happen? Agriculturally, when does that happen on the calendar? Ba'adar. So that happens in Adar. So good. So now we know the sheep become pregnant in Adar. When do they give birth? Because that's going to make all the difference in terms of determining the Rosh Hashanah from Meiser Behema. It makes sense that the Rosh Hashanah from Meiser Behema should be just after all the sheep give birth. So Misabros Ba'adar, the Yoldos Ba'av. if they get pregnant in Adar, then they're going to give birth in Chodesh Av, because it's a 5 month gestation. So we assume that they're gonna give birth 5 months later in Chodesh Av. If that's the case, Rosh Hashanah Shalahen Elul, the Rosh Hashanah is therefore going to be in Elul. Now, because the Zman Ibar of a Behemah Daka is 5 months, the gestation is 5 months, so the Ran says that's fine if you're talking about a Behemah Daka, but a Behemah Gasa, the gestation period is 9 months, and we don't find the Zman Ibar and a Leda of a Behemah Gasa determining the Rosh Hashanah. So why is it that it's Dafka Behemah Daka, not a Behemah Gasa? So he says it must be because the Pasuk links Kol Meiser Bakar Vitzon. So it must be that the Rosh Hashanah for Behemah Gasa is the same as the Rosh Hashanah for Behemah Daka. So even though it may not make sense in terms of when Behemah Gasa actually gives birth, but it's got to be that they have the same Rosh Hashanah because the Torah that links the two of them together in that pasuk Kol Meiser Bakar Vitzon, that the Meiser Behemah of Bakar and Son is the same. So the Ran says I'm not sure if it's the Ran or someone asks, wait a second, but how do you know to go in that direction? Meaning, how do you know to learn from Behemah Daka? Maybe you should learn from Behemah Gasa. So the Ran himself says that because Rov Behemos are Dakos Heim. So we go with the Rov, since Rov Behemos are Dakos, so that's how we go with Tos Yantif says, because Behemah Gasa also gives birth in Avor Elul, it's just that it becomes pregnant 4 months earlier, so it actually would be the same time anyway. But either way, it makes sense that the Rosh Hashanah would be Elul. That explains the sheet of the Tanakama. What about Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon? Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon Omrim, they'll dash in the pasuk as follows. Amos I love Shukar Matzon. When is it that the sheep become pregnant? Bizman Shisroa Uaf Yashiru. No, you go to the third phrase in the pasuk, not the second phrase in the pasuk. That happens when Yisroa Uaf Yashiru. What does that mean? That's when the sheaves in the field are singing Shira. Amos I Shibolim Omro Shira. When do the Shibolim sing Shira? Benisan. That happens during Chodesh Nisan. So Rashi explains that means that it sounds like they're Meshoros because the wind blows and they clap against each other when the wind blows, so it sounds like they're singing. It makes a rustling sound, so that's the Lashon of Shira. Sifsei Chum says it could be that it's Kipshuto, that the Shibolim are Omro Shira, meaning Perek Shira talks about what every part of creation sings Shira. So in Perek Beis, Perek Shira, it says Shibolim Omrim, Shibol Eschitim Omer Shira Malas Mimamakim, etc. So maybe that is when their turn is to say Shira. We don't often think of Perek Shira, but in some way, or what it even means, but in some way, the different parts of creation actually sing Shira. When that song became popular, what does the fox say? So one of my Talmidim said, it's a Dover Pashut. It says straight out in Perek Shira. Ma'o Merashuel, right? It actually has a whole section in Perek Shira. It says exactly what the fox says. Okay, great. So Misabros B'Nisan, so that's something you don't get another Daf Yomi Shurim, see? So Misabros B'Nisan V'Yeldos Be'Elu. So if they get pregnant in Nisan, so since the Shibolim are singing Shira in Nisan, so if they get pregnant in Nisan, they're going to give birth in Elul. So Rosh Hashanah Shalahen Tishrei. So the Rosh Hashanah is therefore going to be Tishrei. So that's the explanation of the Shita of Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon. So wait a second. What's the difference between the Tanakama versus Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon? Tanakama connects Lav Shukar Matzon with the very next phrase, Amakam Yat Fubar. Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon connect Lav Shukar Matzon by skipping a phrase and going to Yisro Af Yashiru. So ask the Gemara, V'idach Nami Yaksiv Yisro Af Yashiru. What is each one going to do with the other phrase that they don't account for? What does the Tanakama do with phrase number three, with Yisra'af Yashiru, about the grain singing Shira? Sahuba Aflasa Davya Benisan. That's talking about the late grains that come in late. The sheep that become pregnant late, that happens in Nisan. Meaning, Yisra'af Yashiru means, even though the majority of the sheep become pregnant at the time that Amakam Yat Fubar, there are a few sheep that will become pregnant later when Yisra'af Yashiru. But still, we go with the majority. Vidach Nami Aksiva Amakam Yat Fubar. What did Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon do with the phrase, the second phrase in the pasuk, who bechafiyasa da asyan me'adar? So they're going to understand that really the majority become pregnant at the time of Yisro af Yashiru, but there are some that get pregnant a little bit earlier by amakam yat fubar at the earlier month. So in Adar. So Bishlam the Ramer kidichsiv lav shukar matzon bizman shamakim yat v'bar v'ikonami yisraf yashiru. Now, according to Rameir, according to the Tanakhama, works out really well because the way the pasuk is the order of the pasuk works. When do the sheep become pregnant? At this time. And by the way, there is some more that become pregnant at a later time. So that's the seder advarim in the pasuk. El Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon nibchami b'alei. But according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the primary time that they become pregnant is the last thing that the pasuk says, and that's out of order. It should have said alav shukar matzon bizman shisraf yashiru v'ikanami damakim yat fubar. It should have flipped the phrases of yisraf yashiru and amakim yat fubar to first account for the time where the majority of the sheep become pregnant, and only then mention the fact that some become pregnant a little bit earlier. So ella amar Rava, so Rava says that's not the explanation of the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Ella amar Rava dekuli on the love shukar matzon bizman shamakim yat fubar ba'adar. Everyone understands the pasuk the same. That lav shukar matzon happens at the time of the second phrase in the pasuk, amakim yat fubar, which is during chodesh Adar, when the grain is first someach. V'hacha b'hai krekamiflgi. What they're really arguing about is the following: when in relation to the animals giving birth, should the Rosh Hashanah be aser ta aser? The pasuk says we take meiser. B'shnei meiser v'sakos medaber. It speaks in a double expression, so that teaches me that there are two different maestros. Echad maestro behema, the echad maestro dagan. There's maestro behema, and there's maestro dagan, and we link the two, we compare the two. There's something that we learn from one to the other. Rameir savar makish maestro behema and maestro dagan in the following way. Rameir says that the comparison between maestro behema and maestro dagan plays itself out in the following way. Ma maestro dagan samach legamro isuro, just like when it comes to maestro of grain. Soon after it's complete, that's when you do the meiser af meiser behema samulchu gamro isuro. So too, when it comes to meiser behema, right when it's complete, right when the animals give birth, that's when the meiser should be. And Rabbi Shimon Savri makish meiser behema le meiser dagan. They say, I agree. You compare meiser behema to meiser dagan, but that's not the way you apply the comparison. The comparison should be applied as follows: ma meiser dagan rosh shana shelo tishrei af meiser behema rosh shana shelo tishrei. Granted, Elul would be the samach le gamro, that as soon as it's finished, that's an Elul. I agree to that. But that's not what we learn from Meister Dagan, that it's Samach L'Gamro, that relative to when it's finished, that it's Rosh Hashanah is going to be. No! What we learn from Meister Dagan is more direct, that if Meister Dagan's Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei, then Meister Behema's Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei. Is Tishrei as well. Now it's interesting that the Torah links, the Torah doesn't tell us which two Maisers to link, it just says Aser to Aser. So we're assuming that that means we should link Maiser Behema to Maiser Dagan, which is it's an assumption because there's another Maiser that we could have linked it to. There's Maiser Tirosh V'Yitzar, which are Mine Ilanos, and that goes Basar Chanata, and that's not Samach L'Gamram. So the whole Drasha would have been entirely different. So the Achronim explained that because it says Tvua Saracha in the Pasuk, so it sounds like it's going on Dagan, not on Tirush and Yitzar, because Tirush and Yitzar are not Dagan, they're Netayim, they're trees. So Mestama, it's Makish Meiser Behema to Meiser Dagan, which is Beferish in the Pasuk, and not to Meiser Ilan, which is not Beferish in the Pasuk. Good, so those are the two explanations of the Machlokas between Rav Meir on the one hand, Rav Lazar, Rav Shimon on the other hand, as to when is the Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema. Now the Mishnah went on to say, Echad B'Tishrei Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim, first day of Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for years. Says in Lamai Hilchasa, Lamai Nafkamina, that Echad B'Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for years. What does it mean that it's for years? We're not asking Lamai Nafkamina that Echad B'Tishrei is an important day. That it says in the Torah that Echad B'Tishrei is a Yantif. So that there's no doubt. We're saying if you're going to call it a Rosh Hashanah for years, what does that mean? What difference does that make in my life? Whether it's the beginning of a year with regard to what? So three possibilities the Gemara is going to have. Possibility number one: Amrav Papa Lishtaros. Very simply, when writing documents, you need to know how to date the document. The year changes on Rosh Hashanah, which is Echad B'Tishrei. And it's important to know how to date the documents, because if you write a Shtar Mukdam, it's going to be possible, because it's going to give an unfair advantage to the lender to be able to collect from the Kuchos from before the time of the actual loan, which is not fair. And if it's Mu'uchar, it's Kasher, because he certainly has the right to be Mochel that extra few months or few weeks of shibud that he otherwise would have had on the land. But we need to know whether the shtar is muktam or mu'uchar, so the years need to be dated accurately. Rosh Hashanah l'malachim v'amrinu l'mai hilchus v'amrilchus l'shtaros. But wait a second, didn't we say that's Echad b'Nisan? That when we date shtaros by the malachim, we use Echad b'Nisan as the Rosh Hashanah. Says Mar Lo Kasha, Kal l'malchi Yisrael, Kal l'malchi umos ha'olam. It depends which malachim we're counting in the shtaros. If you're counting Jewish kings in the shtaros, then you want to use Echad b'Nisan, because the Jews count Echad b'Nisan, Chodesh Zelachem Rosh Chadashim. For us, Yitzias Mitzrayim is the key. When we're putting non-Jewish kings' names in the shtaros, and that's how we're dating the shtaros, then Echad b'Tishrei is the key. Ella Hadam Rav Chista Lashon El Malchei Yisrael El Malchei Yisraelam B'Tishrei Meninan. But wait a second, Rav Chista taught us a chiddush on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph that it's only from Malchei Yisrael that we count from Nisan, but from Malchei Yisraelam we count from Tishrei. So what Rav Chista Mas Nisan Asal Hashminan? That's not a chiddush of Rav Chista. That's what the Mishnah says, that Echad b'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'shanim. So if that's the whole nafkamina of saying Echad b'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, Rav Chista wasn't telling me anything. I know Echad b'Nisan is Rosh Hashanah for shtaros with regard to Jewish kings. Echad b'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'shanim when it comes to writing shtaros with regard to non-Jewish kings. So what's Rav Chista coming to teach me? Says Mar Lo, Rav Chista Kray Asal Hashminan. Now if you recall, in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, on the very bottom of the Amud, the Gemara explained how Rav Chista showed us where that comes from in Psukim. How you see in Psukim that when we cheshbin the years of non-Jewish kings, we look at Rosh Chodesh Tishrei as the turn of the year for non-Jewish kings. So Rav Chista is actually coming to teach me what it says in the Pasuk, not coming to teach me what it says in the Mishnah. So the Achronim, the Aruch Lener, raises the question, if we're troubled by Rav Chista Masnisan Asal Hashminan, what's Rav Chista coming to teach me? It's already beferish in the Mishnah, so shouldn't we be even more troubled, Rav Chista Kray Asal Hashminan? Well, Rav Chista needs to tell me what it says in Psukim. Everybody knows the Psukim before the Mishnayis, the Seder Advarim, Ben Chamish L'Mikra, Ben Esa L'Mishnah. So we assume we know the Psukim already, even before we know the Mishnayis. The five-year-old knows the Psukim. It takes till you're 10 years old, till you know the Mishnayis. So what does that mean? That we're okay with Rav Chista telling me that things that it says explicit in the Psukim? So the Aruch Lener explains, no, Rav Chista is telling me the connection between the Mishnah and the Psukim, meaning that wasn't made by anybody. So that's what Rav Chista's Asal Hashminan is true. The Mishnah had said that the Rosh Hashanah for non-Jewish kings when it comes to shtaros is Echad b'Tishrei. There are psukim in Nechemiah that seem to indicate that Tishrei is a critical time, but we didn't make the tushtel. People didn't make the comparison. People didn't make the connection. It was Rav Chista who came and was mechadish the connection. So by telling us that Rav Chista is both kra asal hashminan and masnisan asal hashminan, then we see what he's contributing. He's making the connection between two different things. Very often, that's the whole trick in learning. It's not about what you know. It's about knowing how to connect things that you already know. You can know a lot of things, but if you don't know how to connect them to each other, so that's very often how to be successful in getting clarity and learning to know which things connect and which things don't connect. Another possibility is that Rav Chista Krabizera Masnila. Maybe Rav Chista doesn't think that when our Mishnah says that Echad b'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'shanim, that it has anything to do with shtaros. Maybe Rav Chista thinks like Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera Amar L'Tkufa. Rabbi Zera says the significance of Echad b'Tishrei being Rosh Hashanah L'shanim is just about figuring out the seasons of the year, which season comes first. So we start the Tkufos, the cycle of Tkufos, on Echad b'Tishrei. Rav Lazar Yidamer b'Tishrei Nivra Olam. Why would we do that? Because we're assuming like Rav Lazar, who says that the world was created in Tishrei, so it makes sense that the seasons of the year should start in Tishrei. The Ran writes that based on what it says in Psiktas Rav Lazar, that in Esrim v'chamisha be'elul Nivra Ha'olam. In Psiktas Rav Lazar doesn't say that Echad b'Tishrei Nivra Olam. It was the 25th day of Elul that the world was created. So when Rav Lazar says in the Gemara that, or he's quoting the Gemara, that b'Tishrei Nivra Olam, he means the Gemar Briyaso was in Tishrei, which means Adam Arishon was created on the sixth day of creation, which turned out to be Echad b'Tishrei. So that's what it means, that it was Nigmar Briyaso Olam. In the Sefer Priyetz Chaim, he points out that in the Gemara in Shabbos, we say that on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Natal Eser Ataros, one of the Ataros of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is that it's Rishon L'maisa Breishis, meaning if you hold that the world was created in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so it sounds like Rishon L'maisa Breishis. Rishon L'maisa Breishis doesn't sound like it was the sixth day of Maaseh Bereishis. I mean, we're generally used to saying there's machlokas. When was the world created? Was it Rosh Chodesh Nisan or was it Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? But what we're seeing over here is that when we say it was created Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, we don't really mean that the world began to be created Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. I mean, the world was finished being created Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Yet by Nisan, we call it Rishon LeMaaseh Bereishis. If it was Rishon LeMaaseh Bereishis, it makes it sound like it was the beginning of Maaseh Bereishis. So that's what some of the Achronim point out. It seems inconsistent in terms of the Machlokas. It's not a Machlokas Rosh Chodesh. It's Chaf Hei versus Rosh Chodesh. Unless you say Rishon LeMaaseh Bereishis, it doesn't mean that the first day of Nisan was the beginning of, was day one of Maaseh Bereishis. It's not on Rosh Chodesh Nisan that Rosh Chodesh Nisan the world is created. It's going on the first day of the week is Rishon LeMaaseh Bereishis. That Sunday happens to be a Rishon LeMaaseh Bereishis, but it's difficult to read it that way. Third possibility of what the significance of Tishrei being Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim is, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar L'Din. It's Rosh Hashanah for years in terms of knowing when we face Din, that on Rosh Hashanah you have to face Din. D'chsim Mereish Hashanah V'adach Rishanah. Mereish Hashanah Nidon Mayehe B'Sofa. That on Reish Hashanah HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines and he judges what's going to be with the rest of this year. What's going to happen in the coming year. So that Din has to happen at the beginning of the year. When's the beginning of the year? That's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So that's what the significance of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei being a Rosh Hashanah is. The Tzlachus points out a very fascinating Ha'ara. He says all of the other Rosh Hashanahs is the beginning of a process, meaning that there's a Rosh Hashanah for shtaros, let's say. That means every shtar from here on in is going to be filled in as this year of this king, right? It's always a hemsheikh. It's not the Rosh Hashanah is a moment in time and then it's over. But l'din, it sounds more like it's a moment, meaning there's Rosh Hashanah where the din when the din actually happens, and that's it. It's not like din continues after the Rosh Hashanah. So how does that make it a Rosh Hashanah? So the Tzlach explains that the Ikar Rosh Hashanah is that it's the Rishon Yemea Tshuva, meaning that since it's that's the time of Din, it's also an opportunity for Tshuva because we now have a clean slate, meaning since we now have a clean slate, so it's now Rishon L'Cheshbon Avonos. So that's what it's saying. It's a new Cheshbon going forward in terms of how we live our lives. Now that we have this Tshuva, we have this ability of Tshuva Me'ava that's able to wipe our slates clean, now we have going forward for the rest of the year a brand new Cheshbon. So it's a brand new sheet of paper that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing all our actions down on, and it's a continuous thing throughout the rest of the year. So mimaydi tishrei hu, how do I know that that's in tishrei? Tichsiv tikub ha-chodesh ofer b'ches liyom chageinu se'ezu chad sha'chodesh mischasa bo. What is the month that the chodesh is mischasa in, that the chodesh is covered up in? Haviyomer ze Rosh Hashanah. That's Rosh Hashanah because that's the only time, that's the only yom tov that falls out on Rosh Chodesh. Uksivin, it says, kichot li'Yisrael hu mishpat l'elukei Yaakov, that the pasuk says that that's a time of mishpat. So the time of Mishpat is when the Chodesh is Mischasa. So that's how we know that Rosh Hashanah is, in fact, a day of judgment. Good. Tanu Rabbanan, once we mention this pasuk, Kichok Yisrael hu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, we mention two other critical drushas that come from this pasuk. Number one, Kichok, Tanu Rabbanan, Kichok Yisrael hu Mishpat Elokei Yaakov, Melamed She'en Bezin Shalmalin Nechnasan Ledin, Elim Kein Kitchu Bezin Shalmata Esachodesh. That Bezin Shalmala does not enter Din until Bezin Shalmata is Mekadesh the Chodesh first. So once Bezin Shalmata declares Rosh Hashanah, that's when Bezin Shalmala will sit and convene. So Sfasema says, so really, so if Beis Din is not Mekadesh the Chodesh until 3 hours into the day, because they're done in Begimel Shalos Rishonos of the day, so it takes 3 hours into the day, you're going to say it's Dafka then that Beis Din Shalmaila is going to start convening? He says, no, what it means is that Beis Din Shalmaila is not Nichnas Ladin unless the Beis Din Shalmaila knows that the Beis Din Shalmata is going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh on this day. But once the Beis Din Shalmaila knows that this is the day the Beis Din Shalmata is going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, then Miyad Baboker already the Beis Din Shalmaila is Nichnas Ladin. And this is a significant comment of the Sfas Emes, because there's another significant comment that I think Rav Soloveitchik wants to give a whole Yortzeit here about. The Chayyadim quotes from Rav Abula Pesvaler, I could be mispronouncing the name, a famous comment of Rababla Pesvaler, quoted by the Chai Adam, that if a person makes a mistake on the night of Rosh Hashanah and he leaves out Hamelech HaKadosh in the Shemona Esrei on the night of Rosh Hashanah, so the Chai Adam quotes from Rababla Pesvaler that you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei, that you don't have to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei. Why? Because just like the din of Lel Rosh Chodesh, if you don't mention Yalav Yavo, the halacha is on the night of Rosh Chodesh, if you forget Yalav Yavo, you don't have to repeat Shemona Esrei, because we're not Mekadish the Chodesh Belaila. Well, who adin? Lel Rosh Hashanah, it's a Lel Rosh Chodesh, and we're not Mekadish the Chodesh at night, so it's as a Lel Rosh Chodesh. You wouldn't have to repeat Amelech HaKadosh, because you're only saying Amelech HaKadosh, because it happens to be Rosh Hashanah, which is a Rosh Chodesh. So the Beis HaLevi in Chelek Aleph at the end of Siman Mem Beis, and the Mishnah Brura in the Sharet Zion, on the bottom of the Mishnah Brura, say we don't understand this Chodesh at all, because that's Shaykh if you're davening a Tefillah Shel Chol. So you're davening a Tefillah about Rosh Chodesh, meaning it's a tefillah shel chol, and you're just being masked, main amor of Rosh Chodesh, so good, so they're not mekadesh shel chodesh at night, it's not yet determined that it's Rosh Chodesh. But if you're davening a tefillah shel Rosh Hashanah, so HaMelech HaKadosh is not shaykh to Rosh Chodesh, HaMelech HaKadosh is about it being yantif, so it's certainly yantif, you're davening a tefillah yantif, it's not a tefillah shel chol. So that's the kasha that all the achronim ask on this comment of the Chayyadim in the name of Rav Abla Pesvaler. So some are miyashiv the kasha, based on what Binyan Shlomo writes, that since in our sugya it says ein bezin shlomal nechnasan ledin elam kichu bezin shlomatas hachodesh, so when we say a melech hakadosh, we're referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu sitting on, as a melech in din. So din doesn't begin until bezin shlomatas mekadosh the chodesh. It's not just when yontif begins. Einachinami yontif begins at night, but the phrase hamelech hakadosh may not relate to yontif. It may not be yontif may not be the mechayev of the phrase hamelech hakadosh. That may be the mechayev of Yantif Tikkun Shemona Esrei, but HaMelech HaKadosh, the Mechayev of HaMelech HaKadosh, may be Beis HaShalmata being Mekadesh the Chodesh, because it's only when Beis HaShalmata is Mekadesh the Chodesh that the Beis HaShalmaila is Yoshev Bedin. But according to the Sfas Emes, you don't have to say like that, because according to the Sfas Emes, the way it works is that Beis HaShalmaila is Yoshev Bedin on the day that Beis HaShalmaila knows later on Beis HaShalmata is going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh. So that could even happen at night. That doesn't have to be exactly when Beis Shalmata would be Mekadesh the Chodesh. The other ha'ara that a lot of the Achronim make is the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Yilches and Beis tells us a Maisa B'chassid Echad. The Gemara says there was a story of a guy who gave a dinar to an ani on Erev Rosh Hashanah during a year of famine, and his wife got all upset at him. How could you give away all of our money? We need the money. We're starving. And he went and he slept in the Beis HaKvaros, and he heard two ruchos, he heard two spirits that were talking to each other. And one of them said to the other one, let's go see what's going on behind Me'achori Apargod, and let's hear what's going to happen this year in the world. Ma'paranos baldi olam. What sort of awful things are going to happen in the world? So the other one said, I'm not able to because I'm buried in a Machtzelah Shalkanim, whatever that means. So why don't you go and you'll come back and you'll tell me what you hear Me'achori Apargod. So he came back, the other spirit came back and said, what did you hear Me'achori Apargod? Oh, I heard Shekola Zareya B'Revir Rishona Barad Malko, so that anyone who's Zareya B'Revir Rishona, anyone who plants during the first rainy season, when you expect the first rains to come, which normally is the best time to plant, it's going to be everything's going to be decimated, nothing's going to work if you plant at that time. So this guy had inside information now. He overheard the spirits talking Me'achori Apargod on the night of Rosh Hashanah about what's going to be that year. So he was able to plan accordingly, and he didn't lose out from giving tzedakah. Sometimes you lose out in the short run, but in the long run, you don't lose out from giving tzedakah. In the long run, you end up on top. So he didn't lose out from giving tzedakah. So Yosef Engel, very sharp, in Gileoni Hashas, sees the Gemara in Brachos Taf Yilches, says, what are you talking about? Bezen Shalmala is not Yoshev Bedin until Bezen Shalmata is Mekadesh Tachodesh. Bezen Shalmata is only Mekadesh Tachodesh in the morning. This was the night of Rosh Hashanah. How did this happen on the night of Rosh Hashanah? That the Ruchos already knew what was going on Me'achori Apargod. They already decided a din for the coming year on the night of Rosh Hashanah. But again, that comment of the Sfas Emes comes in very handy over here. If you say like the Sfas Emes, that it's not when Bezen Shalmata is Mekadesh, that's when Bezen Shalmala is Yoshev Bedin. But it's on the date, on the calendar date, that Bezen Shalmala knows Bezen Shalmata is going to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, then Bezen Shalmala is Yoshev Bedin. So good. So all the kashas are answered. So we have no problems. Okay, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says further now. There is also a discussion, by the way, what if you forget Yalav Yavo on the night of benching on the night of Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, would you say that's worse or better than a Melech HaKadosh? There's a machlokas in the poskim. If you forget Yalav Yavam benching on Rosh Hashanah in general, it's a machlokas in the poskim whether you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei. So Zilberstein discusses this. Do you have to repeat Shemoneh Esrei? Not Shemoneh Esrei, benching. If you forget Yalav Yavam benching on Rosh Hashanah. So what's the svara to say that you would have to repeat benching? Well, in general, on Yantif, if you forget Yalav Yavam, you have to repeat benching because you have a Chiv Suda on Yantif. What's the svara to say not? Because the Gaonim had several Gaonim quote a minag that they would fast on Rosh Hashanah, that it's mutter to fast on Rosh Hashanah. If it's mutter to fast on Rosh Hashanah, so the koveya of when you would be chayiv to repeat benching is were you chayiv to have a suda. If it's mutter to fast on Rosh Hashanah, then yeah, no chayiv suda, maybe you wouldn't have to repeat Yalav Yavo. But Rav Zilberstein says, but what, maybe nighttime is different than daytime. Why? Because even if it's mutter to fast on Rosh Hashanah, it's only during the daytime. You would still eat at nighttime of Rosh Hashanah, you would just fast during the daytime. But on the flip side, maybe nighttime would be, so that's why nighttime would be more of a reason to repeat Yalav Yavo. But on the flip side, if you say like Rav Abba Pesvaler, maybe nighttime would be less of a reason to repeat Yalav Yavo, because it's not really a Mekadosh as Chodesh Belayla, and the Bezin is not going to be Yoshev in Din until the Mekadosh the Chodesh. So maybe it's not yet Rosh Hashanah for all intents and purposes on nighttime. You're not allowed to do Malacha, but in terms of all the other Dinim of Rosh Hashanah, maybe it wouldn't be as strong. Okay, so that's an interesting discussion that the poskim have. Now, Tanya Idach, we also have another drasha from this pasuk, Ki Chak Yisrael Hu Einli Elo Yisrael Lumas Olam Inayin. I only know that this is a din for Yisrael, that there's judgment for Yisrael. Where do I know from Lumas Olam? Tamalomar Mishpat Eloka Yaakov Imkein Matamalomar Ki Chak Yisrael. So why does it say Ki Chak Yisrael first? Melamed She Yisrael Nechnasin Tchila Ladin. The point is that Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world all face din on Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, but Klal Yisrael goes into din first. Kid Rav Chista, like Rav Chista says, Dam Rav Chista, Melech v'tzibur, if you have a king and a tzibur that are awaiting judgment, Melech nichnas tchila l'din. A Melech goes to din first. A Melech has to enter first into din. Shenamar mishpat avdo u'mishpat amo. That first it's avdo, then amo. My time, why does the Melech come first? Iba yisema lavarachara l'meka malka avrai. One possibility is just derech eretz. It's not nice to keep a Melech in your waiting room. If you have a Melech over there, you don't let him sit in the waiting room. You rush him right in to be seen. So he gets judged first. Iba yisema mekame delefush charonaf. Or the other possibility is that the Melech has to be judged first because it's an advantage to be judged first. When one is judged later on in the day, so by then the judge is already angry. He's seen enough bad stuff. He's not interested in having Rachmanis anymore. They've done actual psychological studies of this. They've courts and appeals panels in Israel of all places. That's where they did, and they discovered that you have a much better chance of winning an appeal at 9 o'clock in the morning than you do at 11:30 in the morning, because 11:30 in the morning is almost lunchtime, and no one has patience when it's almost lunchtime. So, but 9 o'clock in the morning, everyone has plenty of patience. But the big kasha of this whole thing is, whose din are we talking about over here? What charon af are we talking about? Who's better get him before he gets angry? Because once he gets angry, then forget about it. Then it clouds his judgment. Then he's just going to throw the book at you. We're talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu over here. We're talking about the din of Hashem. So what does that even mean? So that's a kasha that the Achronim are bothered by. That there's a kas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he's going to be koish for things because he's just in a bad mood. So by human beings it makes sense, but it's shaykh to say that about a Kodesh Baruch. So the suggestion is that because by the Melech has a chrayus klape the entire nation, and he should have made a macha and not made a macha, so that's what it means. That's why there's charon af, because of the avonos hatzibur. Meaning, if you're maskir the avonos hatzibur before the avonos hamelech are that much greater, because all the avonos hatzibur are on his head as well. That's what it means, charon af. Not that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gets in a bad mood. Hashem doesn't get in a bad mood. It means that because the avonos hatzibur have come first, so now the Melech is not only responsible for his own Avonos, but he's responsible for the Avonos HaTzibur as well. That's one suggestion that some of the Achronim have. The other suggestion is that Malchusa Derekiah Ke'in Malchusa Da'ara. The Gemara in Bracha says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the Malchusa Derekiah in a way similar to the way we would run a Malchusa Da'ara. Why does he do that? So that we could have some type of shemetz of a havana of what Malchusa Derekiah is. So the way to get some sort of little bit of understanding the way Malchusa Derekiah is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it parallel Malchusa Daros. So even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't get angry and he doesn't lose patience and he's not waiting for lunchtime and he's not, that doesn't happen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nevertheless he runs the show the same way we run the Malchusa Da'ara. So those are the two possible reasons why a melech goes first in din. But Klal Yisrael goes, so because Klal Yisrael is the melech, so Klal Yisrael goes before the Umos HaOlam in din on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. In the Nusach of Tefil on Rosh Hashanah, V'al HaMedinos Bo Yeyomer, Ezel Achere Ve'ezel Asova, Brios Bo Yipakedu, Laskiram L'chayim U'lamaves. So now in the first phrase, it was the bad before the good. We had Cherev before Sova. And then in the second phrase, it's Chayim and then Maves. It's the good before the bad. It's first the Chayim, then the Maves. So Reb Chaim Palagi in Ruach Chayim explains, based on our sugya, that Klal Yisrael is Nichnas Tchila L'din. So when it comes to the Din HaMedinos, where Rov Medinos are Akum, so then we say first the Ra'a and then the Tova. But when it comes to the Gufim, to the individuals, so since Klal Yisrael is Nichnas Tchila L'din, so we first say L'chaim, V'achrakach we say L'maves. So we say L'chaim L'maves, hoping L'chaim for us and L'maves for our enemies, because we know that our din on a personal level certainly comes first. But when we're talking about Cherev and Sova, that's talking about national level. So on a national level, we're talking about Medinos. There was no Medinas Yisrael. Medinos was everybody. So that's why we mentioned the bad before the good, because that's Rov Akum. Also, the Torah Tamima quotes the Torah Tamima in Parsha Shmos, says that there's some that suggest that it's Dafka by Malchei Yisrael, where we say that Melech V'tzibur, the Melech is Nichnas Tchila L'din, that there's such a din. But by Malchei Umos HaOlam, the Melech is not Nichnas Tchila L'din. And Torah Tamima says it's against the Gemara. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Beis Amud Beis, says that Las Lava HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be done Kala Umos. That's a famous Gemara where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give, tells us what kind of thing is going to happen Las Lava, where he's going to say that they're going to say, it's not fair, you never gave us an opportunity, you never gave us mitzvahs. If we would have given us the Torah, we would have tried. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, okay, mitzvah kali yeshli, I have a mitzvah of sukkah, why don't you try it? And he gives him sukkah, and then he takes out the sun. Right, that whole story. So that, in that whole discussion, the Gemara, at the beginning of Avodah Zarah, it says, so which nation does HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge first? Malchus Romi. Why? Because Melech is Nichnas Tchil L'din, and Rome is considered like the royalty of all the Umos HaOlam. So it says the Torah Tamimi, you see this applies by Umos HaOlam as well. This isn't only by Yisrael, that Melech V'tzibur, the Melech is Nichnas Tchil L'din. Torah Tamim also writes that the fact that this is Dafka by Masu Matan Shel Din, that's when we say Melech is Nichnas Tchil L'din, when it comes to actually figuring out and adjudicating the case. But when it comes to the Kiyum Adin, to paskening the case, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the Onesh, so then we don't say that a Melech comes before anyone else in Din. And he says, we know this from, he proves this from the fact that the Gemara says in Masechta Sota about Paro, that Kivan Shel Nichnas he said, So Paro was the one that was affected first by the Makos. So the Mefarshim asked, well, how do you know that it was because he was Nichnas Be'etzat Tchila? Maybe it's because he's in Melech, and Melech is Nichnas L'din Tchila. Maybe that's why. So it says the Torah Tamimi, you see from there that it must be, there is no such din, that a Melech gets punished first. The din is that a Melech is Nichnas L'din first, but not that he gets punished first. Paro got punished first because Havan Eschak Melo, he was Nichnas Tchila in the Eitzah. He's the one that decided to come up with a solution to the Jewish problem. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Ula Shemitin. So the Mishnah had said that Echad B'Tishrei is also the Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah. Minalan, how do I know it's Rosh Hashanah for Shemitah? Dechsev, U'B'Shanah Shviyas, Shabbat Shabbason, Yela Aretz. V'Gomer, Shana Shana, Mi Tishrei. So since he used the word Shana, we learn Shana Shana from Tishrei. Dechsev, Mereshis, Hashana. So says Gemara, V'Ligmar Shana Shana Mi Nisan. Why don't we learn out Shana Shana from Nisan? Dechsev, Rishon U'Lechem L'Chadshei, Hashana, and that's Nisan. Says Gemara, Dan Shana Sheini Machadashim, Mi Shana Sheini Machadashim. Because both by Shemitah and by Tishrei, it uses the word Shana without mentioning Chodesh. By Nisan, it mentions Chodesh as well, so it's a better parallel to put Shemitah together with Tishrei than to put Shemitah together with Nisan. Great. Ula Yovlos. We also said, said that that Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Yovel. Frekta Gemara, Yovelos B'Echad B'Tishreihu. Yovelos B'Yud B'Tishreihu. Yovel is not on Echad B'Tishrei. Yovel is on the 10th day of Tishrei. Dichsiv B'Yom HaKippurim Taviru Shofar. That's when they blow the shofar and that's when everyone goes free. That happens on the 10th day of Tishrei. That doesn't happen on Echad B'Tishrei. So the Ran raises the question. Even according to the Man D'Yomer that Shichra Avadim happens on the 10th day of Tishrei, because that's when we blow the shofar. But when does the Yovel year start? The Isra of Avodas Karka in the Yovel. There's no machlokas about that. That certainly starts on Echad B'Tishrei. That certainly starts on Rosh Hashanah. So you have to say that when the Mishnah says Yovel Sarba Echad B'Tishrei, maybe that's Avodas Karka. Shiluach Avodim Inachinami. That will go a little bit later on. Especially, and he said, the Ran says, it has to be that the Mishnah is talking about Avodas Karka, not Shiluach Avodim. Think about what we said before, the Yisod of the Tzlach, that every single Rosh Hashanah is about a Hemsheikh. It's about something that continues throughout the year. It's not about something that's just a one-time event. The freeing of the slaves is just a moment's time. They build a shofar, everyone's free. Done. That's it. There's no more freeing of slaves anymore. But when it comes to the other din of Yovel, the Avodas HaKarka, that goes throughout the year. So when we talk about a Rosh Hashanah Klape Yovel, we must be talking about Avodas HaKarka. So what kind of kasha is the Gemara asking? That it happens on Yud Tishrei, it happens on Yom Kippur. No, it doesn't. The Yisra Avodas HaKarka begins already on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So that's the Ran's very, very strong kasha. So the Ran suggests what you have to say is that when the Mishnah when it says is talking about Avodas HaKarka, that's so the Ran suggests that nevertheless what you have to say is that since there are some dinim that are not chal until Yom Kippur, you can't call it Echad B'Tishrei that is the Rosh Hashanah for Yovel, because it's not the complete Rosh Hashanah for Yovel, because all of the dinim of Yovel have not kicked in yet. Okay, or he says alternatively that Shiluach Avadim is also not just a one time event, because there's a din of an Eved that's Nimkar B'Shnasa Yovel, that it's no machur, meaning the din that an eved goes free in the year of Yovel is not just a one-time event that they blow the shofar and everyone goes free. No, there's another din that an eved that gets sold during the Yovel year, whenever it may be during the Yovel year, the sale is not a valid sale because it would automatically go free. So the freedom happens continuously throughout the year. So maybe that's why we consider that the Rosh Hashanah Yovel to be with regard to Shiluach Avadim. So anyway, the Gemara answers. So I doesn't happen on Yom Kippur. Hamani Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. No, maybe our mission assumes like the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Detanya v'kedashim b'snas ha'chamishim shana. Matam lomar. What does the pasuk teach me when it says me that when it says that makadesh shnas ha'chamishim shana l'vishnem Rabbi Yom Kippurim yachal lo teimis kadesh sal Yom Kippurim veilach? Because it says that we blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. So you might think that it's that the Yovel year only counts from Yom Kippur and on. Tam lomar v'kedashim b'snas ha'chamishim l'amishim is kadeshes ba'lech. That's what the pasuk teaches me. That the kedusha sayovel already begins on Rosh Hashanah. Mikanam Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Mi Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim lo hayu avadim niftarin lebateihen, but also v'lo mishtabnu l'adoneihem. That starting on Rosh Hashanah, the avadim didn't go free yet, but they also didn't have to work anymore. They had that tkufa like Klal Yisrael had in Mitzrayim during the Makos, where the Avdus was really over. We weren't really working anymore, but we weren't free yet. We weren't out yet. So the Avadim also have this 10-day in-between period where they're not yet out, but they don't have to work. Elo Ochlim v'shosin, they're sitting in their master's house, eating and drinking, with smechin and celebrating with Roseim Roshayim, wearing crowns on their head. Kivun shegia Yom HaKippurim comes, taku bezim v'shofar, bezim blows the shofar, niftur Avadim v'batein, v'sados chosus l'balei. And Bezin blows the shofar, and right away everyone goes home. The fields return to their owners. It's a shaila on Yom Kippur. Let's say if on Yom Kippur we're knowing that we blow the shofar right after Yom Kippur is over. So there are two possible explanations why it is that we do that. One is that we blow the shofar as a zecher to the shofar of Yovel, that we can't blow it on Yom Kippur, but because it's only a zecher, it's not the din anymore, so we can't blow it on Yom Kippur. So we do right after Yom Kippur, we blow it as zecher to the shofar of Yovel. And the Mishnah Berurah gives another reason, that it's a simon to the Siluk Shechina Lamala, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaving. Nafkamina might be, as Zilberstein points out, Nafkamina might be, what if we blow the shofar a little too early? It's a cloudy day, we thought it was over already, and we blow the shofar and realize, hey, we blew the shofar 5 minutes too early. So if it's a zecher to the shofar of Yovel, so it's sort of okay, because it's a better zecher, because it was really supposed to be blown on Yom Kippur. But if it's about Siluk Shechina, then we got it wrong. Rav Zilberstein thinks it's not enough community. He says even if it's Siluk Shechina, okay, so it's 5 minutes away from Siluk Shechina. It's close enough that it would still count. You wouldn't have to blow the shofar again. But anyway, Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would say, Shana miyata mekadesh viyata mekadesh chadashim, that the point over here is, that were Mekadesh years, we're not Mekadesh months. The Rabbanan hold that Beis Din never has to be Mekadesh a Chodesh. They have to be Mekabel Edim, and then the Chodesh is Mekudesh on its own. They don't have to declare it Mekudesh. But years, they do need to declare Mekudesh. Tanya, the Sefer Chinuch writes that it's a mitzvah, that Beis Din is Mekadesh the Shana of Yovel, and they make a Birchus a mitzvah. It's a good answer to a riddle. What's the least frequently said bracha? So that would be the bracha, the Birchus a mitzvah and be Mekadesh Yovel. Less frequent than Birchas Hachama. So Tanya Idach, we have another brayse that says Yovel hi matam lamul v'shenemer v'kedashim mishnasa chamishim yachol k'shem shemiskadash v'alechas mitchilasa kach miskadash v'alechas b'sofa. You might think that just like it's miskadash v'alechas already 10 days before the avodim go free, it's already considered to be holy. So you might think that the Yovel year continues after the year is over. And Val Tatama, don't think that that's weird that the Yovel year would go beyond when the year is over. Sharim osif mechol al Kodesh, because when it comes to all days of Kedusha, we're always Mosif Mechol al Kodesh. We start Shabbos early, we end Shabbos late, we start Yom Tovah, Yom Kippur, everything, we're always Mosif Mechol al Kodesh. So that's why Tamil Omer, Yovel hi Shnas HaChamishim. Shnas HaChamishim atam Mekadesh, viatam Mekadesh, Shnas HaChamishim va'achas. We're Mekadesh the 50th year, not the 51st year. 51st year is not Yovel anymore. V'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan would just say, no, Shnas HaChamishim atam Mona, viatam Mona, Shnas HaChamishim va'achas. That we count year 50. We don't count year 51. La fuke mid Rabbi Yehuda, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, damer shnas chamishim olu l'kan l'kan, kamash milan delo. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the 50th year is not only the last year of the previous Yovel cycle, it is also the first year of the next Yovel cycle, which means that in reality it's only a 49-year cycle. It's not a 50-year cycle, because the 50th year is also year one of the next cycle. So we're saying, not like Rabbi Yehuda, that shnas chamishim, that we're mona shnas chamishim, we're not Mona it as Shnas Chamishim va'achas. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.